on Something to Believe In, Reverend Tommy Bounce presents to you a program of encouragement and blessing with uplifting music and a life-changing message from the Word of God. And now, here's Something to Believe In with Reverend Tommy Bounce.
If the storms of life have shattered all your hopes and plans, and the light upon the path you walk is dim, remember God still loves you and He holds you in His hand. He invites you, cast your cares upon Him. He has borne your grief and sorrow. There's no reason to be down, no reason to believe you cannot win. The storm you feel within your soul, reach out in faith, cast your care upon Him. You've searched in all directions, but the way is not safe. It seems that confusion and doubt, they seem to lie on every hand. God will not forsake you. He is your dearest friend, and He tells you, cast your care upon Him. He has borne your grief and sorrow. There's no reason to be down, no reason to be. Within your soul, reach out in faith, cast your care upon Him. Though you may not understand the storm you feel within your soul, reach out in faith, cast your care upon Him.
You may have a fancy car, brand new house that shines by far. You may live to be 100 years old. In heaven. gently flowing. Hear the gentle breezes blowing. I want us to be together in
pearl. I'd gladly trade this world's glory for the one that's waiting for me. I would miss heaven for the world. This world is a wonderful place, but I'm not here to stay. I'm just a pilgrim passing through, but I'll keep traveling till the time that I make his home mine. The world can't keep this dream from coming true. I wouldn't miss heaven for the world. A mansion waits for me inside those gates of pearl. I'd gladly trade this world's glory for the one that's waiting for me. I wouldn't miss heaven for the world. Someday when I get to my home, I'll stand before his throne. I'll join his children in a song. Sing about his amazing grace, how sweet to sing it to his face. Heaven is the place where I belong. I wouldn't miss heaven for the world. A mansion waits for me inside those gates of pearl. I'd gladly trade this world's glory for the one that's waiting for me. I wouldn't miss heaven for the world. I wouldn't miss heaven for the world. A mansion waits for me inside those gates of pearl. I'd gladly trade this world's glory for the one that's waiting for me. I'll trade this world's glory for the one that's waiting for me. I'll trade this world's glory for the one that's waiting for me. I wouldn't miss heaven. I wouldn't miss heaven. I wouldn't miss heaven for the world, for the world.
Thank you. I surveyed all his goodness that comes to me from above, and I could count all of the blessings from out the storehouse of his love. I'd simply ask for one favor of him beyond mortal kin. I'm sure he'd grant it again and again. I want to stroll over heaven with you some that day. All of our troubles and our heartaches have truly vanished away. There we'll enjoy all the beauty where all things are new. I want to stroll over heaven with you. So many places of beauty we've been longing to see, but time and treasures have kept us from making plans now, you see. But come the morning of that rapture, together we're gonna stand anew, and then I'll stroll over heaven. I want to stroll over heaven with you some glad day. All of our troubles, all our heartaches have truly vanished away. There we'll enjoy all the beauty where all things are new. I want to stroll over heaven with you.
To you from Genesis 50 and verse 15. Now I'm going to begin in verse 15, go down through about the 19th verse. And then we're going to go back and preach on the last part of Romans 8 and 28. And when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, Thy father did command before he died, saying, So shall you say unto Joseph, Forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren, for their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespasses of thy servant, of the God of thy father, and of Joseph. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brother also went and fell down before his face. And they said, Behold, we will be thy servant. And Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for I am in the place of God. Last week we spoke on, For we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Now I don't care what the situation, you can stand on that passage of Scripture. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Now, you may think, well, preacher, you don't know what I'm going through. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Yes, but preacher, you've never been up against my dilemma. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Yes, but preacher, I'm dying with cancer. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord. I want to take you back, and I want you to give me these answers. Last week we preached on that, and we talked about Joseph and his brothers. And when we talked about Joseph and the situation that Joseph was brought into, surely things are not working like they ought to. Because Joseph had brothers that literally hated him. Come on, say it. They had brothers that literally hated him. And not only did they have brothers that hated him, but they had brothers that envied him. So now we got brothers that hate and envy him. And not only did he have brothers that hated and envied him, but his brothers also conspired against him. And not only did he have brothers that hated, envied, and conspired, but he had brothers that literally wanted to
kill him. But we've got to go on into the last part of the scripture. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and them that are called according to his purpose. Now, I'm just dumb enough to believe that God's got a plan. I'm just dumb enough to believe that God's got a purpose. I'd like to think that God had a purpose and a plan in my life. I have always made the statement, I'm not a nobody going no place, I'm a somebody going someplace. I believe that when God saved me, God had a plan for me. I believe that when God called me and called me to preach, God had a plan for me. God had a purpose in my life. But has everything been a bed of roses? Has everything been easy for me? Have I never had a dilemma? Have I never had a problem? Well, the Bible said all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. He didn't say I wouldn't have a problem. But he did say everything would work together for good. God is saying to me, I don't care what the situation. You live in my plan and in my purpose and everything will work to your good. You watch your loved ones die. You watch them as they lay on the bed and they're deteriorating with cancer. And their little bodies is weakening because the flesh is falling from the body because cancer does that to the body. You stand over them and you wonder, hey, surely this is not the purpose and the plan of God. But yet we contradict ourselves when we read the scripture. Did you not know the Bible said it's blessed is he that dies in the Lord? He didn't say you wouldn't have cancer. He didn't say you wouldn't have sickness in your body. But he did say, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come and receive you unto myself, that where I am there you may be also. I watch many of your loved ones as they lay on the bed of affliction. Every time I think about a certain song, I think about an old friend of mine, Brother Ed Dixon. I think about this elderly gentleman who loved that song, Canaan Land is Just in Sight. You remember how he used to sing that song? You see, because he knew God was preparing for him a better place. And today, I want you to realize there is a plan and a purpose in your life. God never made no half plans. God always made a full plan. Go with me back to the children of Israel. Do you think that God took them out of Egypt's bondage only to take them so far? No, the Bible said that God said, I will take you from the land of Egypt into a land that's flowing with milk and honey. Well, we see many oppositions. Did they not walk through the hot, burning desert? Did they not become hungry sometime? Did they not become thirsty sometime? All things are working together for good to them that love the Lord. They are on a purpose journey. They had a purpose. They had a plan in their life. They grew hungry. But honey, remember the Bible. The Bible said that God calls the manna that came down from heaven. I believe that God fed them angels' food. And then they became thirsty. Guess what again? Moses, well, he smote the rock, but God said, speak to the rock. And God gave them water. Is not all things working together for good to them that love the Lord? But preacher, 40 years they wandered in the desert. But honey, let's go back to the Bible. They love God. They're setting about on a divine plan, a divine purpose. All these things are happening to them, but they are going to a land that flows with milk and honey. But you see, here's what happens. A lot of times on that journey, faith journey, we begin to doubt and disbelieve God. One of the greatest weapons the devil can use is to use our doubt and unbelief. They go down to a certain place and all of a sudden Joshua decides that we'll take a look at the land. And Joshua sends out some spies. You remember the story? And he goes out and he looks at the land and surely it's just what God said it would be. I like that part. Because everything God said will come to pass. If God said it, I believe it, and that's good enough for me. God said there's a land there that flows with milk and honey. But that doesn't mean we'll doubt and disbelieve God. The Bible said they could not enter into His rest because of what? Their unbelief. That's what kept them wandering for 40 years in the desert. Because when the report came back, and you know I've always staggered at this, Here's a land that has grapes that are so large that, and we see pictures where the two men are carrying them, one on each shoulder. And the grapes are hanging over the limb. And the grapes are literally as big as tangerines or oranges or grapes or grapefruits. I can't imagine fruit like that. And when they came back, they said it's everything God said it was. Can you see that faith that's speaking in their heart? Well, surely it's everything that God said it was. It's a land that flows with milk and honey. It's Canaan land. And Brother Ed said it's just in sight. And it's everything God said it would be. But, you know, I think today there's a good place for our butts. And pardon the expression, but our butts need to be on the altar. So many people say, yes, I know, but. Oh, yes, I think so, but. Even if we butt more, we're supposed to be sheep, but we go around butting like goats. We need to put our butts on the altar. But this, but that. Oh, yes, it's a land that flows with milk and honey. It's everything the plan and the purpose of God said it was, but. There's giants over there. And did you know that we look like grasshoppers in their sight? That's doubt. That's unbelief. But remember, all things are working together for good to them that love the Lord and them that are called according to His purpose. The plan and the purpose was go into the Canaan land. Isn't it a long way? Isn't it a long way when God saved you? Isn't it a long way when you come out of Egypt and go into Canaan? I don't know about you, but I'm beginning to look back at 35 years of ministry, and boy, it's been a long journey. Man, I've had heartaches, I've had sadness, I've had tears, but after all, this Bible is a place of trials and tears. It isn't a bed of roses. Just the Bible nowhere says, come and walk with me, and everything will be hunky-dory. He said, you will have tribulation, and we will have tribulation. But remember, there's a plan, there's a purpose of God. There is a land that flows with milk and honey. And the children of Israel, they are in that place with God. They're in that plan with God. Let me give you another allegory or an illustration. Jesus told many parables, which are called allegories, short stories to tell a point. But anyhow, they tell the story about the man called Job. Now let me tell you some things about Job. The Bible said, as it starts off in the book of Job, you need to read it. The Bible said there was a man who was perfect. Perfect? Why, yes, that's what the Bible said. He was perfect. He was upright. He eschewed evil. He was everything God would want in a man. He was everything that anybody would want in a person. A good father, a good husband. He loved the Lord, everything. But wasn't it a sad time when 10 coffins sat in his living room? You mean to tell me that this man that loved God, feared God, and eschewed evil, that all this tragedy is going to happen? Sure, all of his children died. They come running, they said, the goats are dead, the sheep are dead, the camels are dead. Everything you have, Job, is gone. You mean this is a man that loves God, fears God, and eschews evil? Surely all things are not working good for him. Surely this ain't the plan. Surely this is not the purpose of God. Why are these things happening to Brother Job? He sits over in sackcloth and ashes. He asks the question, man dies and where is he? And he asked himself many questions because in the dilemma of his mind, I remember, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose.
A boy grew up in Nazareth, known throughout the land. Well, he had a way of doing things crafted with his hand. Folks came from near and far, heard his work while school. One day he would be known as the master of the wood. By the time that he was 30, doing everything he done, everyone who knew him knew he was the Father's son. He carved his way through all mankind every way he could. Soon he would be known as the master of the wood. They said his name was Jesus, a man from Galilee. They said he was the carpenter, but he's more than that to me. But he's a picture of forgiveness, painted with his blood, dying for my salvation, the master of the world.
Something to Believe In with Reverend Tommy Mounts returns next week at this same time. It's Tommy's sincere desire that today's program has brought encouragement and blessing. Please take time just now to write and include a generous offering, as your giving makes it possible for Something to Believe In to continue on this and other stations. Today's broadcast and or music tapes by Tommy and Martha are available by request. Simply include your request along with your offering when writing to Reverend Tommy Mounts.